Rolene Marks, how are you?
Well, my love never runs out for my favorite afternoon team. I tell you, being stuck in the most monumental traffic jam in the history of traffic jams.
Why, Rolene, give us a bit of background. What's going on there?
A horrible story. First of all, it's the night run in Tel Aviv, which is rerouted buses. They're working on the road line, the railway line, which has stopped the train. And somebody very tragically committed suicide off one of the bridges in Tel Aviv, so they had to shut down the highway. To retrieve the body and for criminal investigation. And now we have just opened up.
Wow, I can only imagine what a terrible and tragic story that is indeed. Another very big story happening over the last 24 hours in Israel is there's a tremendous amount of tension on the border with Gaza. That's after Israel blew up a terror tunnel, killing 7, injuring 12. Children on the Israel side and anywhere near Gaza have been told to stay indoors today. Give us a bit of tell us what's going on there at the moment.
Well, yesterday around about lunchtime, news broke that residents in the south of Israel or in the Gaza periphery reported hearing explosions coming from the border. Residents of Gaza reported that the Israeli Air Force had attacked targets. News then broke, in fact, we broke it last night on Chai FM, that a terror tunnel had been struck. And at the time, we knew of one fatality in the tunnel. Now we have the latest update, 7 terrorists killed, 12 injured. That terror tunnel had unfortunately been built and reached into Israel, and the Israeli Air Force was well within international human rights law to destroy that tunnel. So as you can imagine, tensions have been heating up on the border with Gaza. Children were recommended to stay indoors today. Schools were reopened, but as you can imagine, they were told to stay indoors, not be outside or be near a shelter just in case, because Hamas have threatened blood for blood, and they will retaliate after this explosion in the terror tunnel. Islamic Jihad terrorists were in the tunnels, but as we know, Hamas are responsible for all the terror groups in the Gaza Strip. So right now, tensions are very, very high between us and the border with Gaza.
So, we spoke a little bit earlier to Simon Plosker. He is the managing editor at Honest Reporting in Jerusalem. And one of the comments that he made was what they haven't and what they've been correcting in terms of global media and reporting on this is that it hasn't been widely reported that, in fact, where the tunnels were blown up was actually within Israeli territory.
Yes. Those tunnels had reached into Israeli territory. We know that the purpose of these tunnels when they're built into Israeli territory was the smuggling of weapons to terrorists here, and also the plan that we became aware of shortly after these tunnels were discovered was that they intended to either kidnap civilians and take them into the Gaza Strip or come in and kill Jews either in nursery schools or kibbutzim or moshavim. In fact, we helped evacuate one of the kibbutzim on the border with Gaza. We evacuated their residents, and they told us afterwards at a dinner or a luncheon, rather, they gave to say thank you to us for keeping them safe, that the exit part of the tunnel that were being built from Gaza actually exited within the kindergarten on that kibbutz. So there is very, very nefarious aims of these tunnels, not just the ones that are smuggling weapons that come from Iran into the Gaza Strip, but also they want to arm terrorists here, and they want to kidnap and possibly kill our civilians as well.
Rolene, Aside from the sense of relief that this tunnel was discovered and the tunnel was destroyed, there must also be a tremendous amount of concern, because the fact is that it did stretch all the way into Israeli territory, and that could mean that there are more tunnels and there is more possibility of this type of attack happening at the areas around the Gaza Strip and, as you said before, within a very, very short distance of kindergarten, schools, etc. What has the reaction of the Israeli public been?
Israeli public has been basically, you know, thank God we have a very aware army and air force, and that they do respond when they find these tunnels immediately. You know, a lot of the criticism after Operation Cast Lead was that civilians had been reporting hearing these funny sounds coming from beneath the ground, scratching sounds, really, really mysterious sounds. And that nobody seemed to pay attention, and boy, did we learn our lessons hard way. So now we are alert. In fact, the army has developed technology, laser technology, that they can see below the surface of the ground, that can see underground what is happening in the tunnels, take out the tunnels, and of course there are the plans to build a subterranean wall to stop those tunnels from tunneling, basically.
Very, very frightening indeed, but obviously a tremendous sense of relief that that tunnel at least was destroyed. Israeli Finance Minister meets in Ramallah with the Palestinian Authority's Prime Minister.
Yes, so Moshe Kahlon, who is our Finance Minister, and several other ministers from the government met with Palestinian Prime Minister Rami Hamdallah in Ramallah. They discussed, you know, mutual cooperation, especially financial cooperation. And I know that many of you are curious to find out why is Israel talking to the Palestinians after signing a unity deal with Hamas. And the reason for this is fairly simple, is that we've agreed to continue keeping the channels open between Israel and the Palestinian Authority, but not with as far as negotiations for peace are concerned, because of the influence of Hamas on that unity government.
Absolutely. Very, very, very interesting indeed. Tell us about the survey. There's been apparently a new survey done in Britain, in the United Kingdom, regarding support for Israel. How did it turn out?
Well, I found this to be quite interesting. You know, a couple of months ago, we heard, you know, disturbing news, a rise in anti-Semitism in Britain, and Jews don't feel safe. And this survey conducted very, very recently found that at least 48% of Britons do not support the boycott, and that support for any kind of boycott against the state of Israel has dropped significantly against or by young Britons. And I don't know if it's the effect of having terror attacks in their country, very, very close to home, and they're starting to understand what we have endured, or if we are getting through to them, or if it's basic decency. But there is a lot more favorable outlook from Britons towards the state of Israel. And the timing couldn't be more perfect, because on Thursday, November the 2nd, we celebrate the centenary of the Balfour Declaration. And it was then when Lord Balfour said in government that the time has come. He sees no reason why there shouldn't be the creation of a Jewish state. And I know that our detractors, we know who they are. They all come with fabulous acronyms. They say, you know, that it's robbed Palestinians of their land. But a declaration that would create a Jewish state would have created an Arab state at the time. And guys, missed opportunity.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Is the Balfour Declaration a significant event in Israel itself? I know that there are going to be a couple of events here in South Africa. I know, obviously, in the United Kingdom, there's dinners and it's being recognised. How is it seen as a major event in Israel later this week?
Absolutely, it's huge, bigly. It's one of the big dates that we've had on our calendar this year. We could not be more delighted. I know that all the organizations that are involved in advocacy work and in Zionist work, in Zionist education, like the World Zionist Organization, the Jewish Agency, ourselves, WITSO, and many, many others are celebrating this Balfour Centenary. If you want to celebrate, you can go onto the IsraelForever.org site. Massive celebrations there. It's all across the country. You know, we're absolutely delighted. It's getting a lot of coverage in the media here. And we really, really are grateful and that we are marking a centenary of a major move that made our ancient homeland a modern state.
What's fascinating to me is, does it still have the relevance to the next generation? Do the children in Israel appreciate what this means, or is it quite a lot of hard work to make it relevant today? Because they've grown up in a world where the Balfour Declaration was just kind of irrelevant, because their reality is that the state has for them has always existed.
Excellent question, Howard.
Thank you very much.
I think that is largely up to the educators, how much of it is included in the curriculum. You know, there has been a major push. I think if you walk through Ben-Gurion Airport, there is an incredible display. Actually, it's when you leave Ben-Gurion Airport, an incredible display of 100 years of Zionism, you know, what the Balfour Declaration has brought to the state. I think, you know, the onus, and it's same for many other major events throughout history, is that as the generations go on, you know, does it lose its impact? Does it, you know, what happens to these major world events? And I think that the onus is on educators and also on us. You know, the more that we keep it alive on social media and educate our children and inculcate a real sense of pride of Jewish history and Jewish heritage, we keep these events alive.
Absolutely right. Finally, Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull arrives in Israel, and he's there to commemorate a famous World War II battle. Tell us about this.
Well, another big, huge centenary is being celebrated today in the town of Be'er Sheva. You could be forgiven for laughing at the picture of Prime Minister Netanyahu and Malcolm Turnbull, the Australian Prime Minister, in their matching Aussie Outback hats. I was wondering where the like, safari-type suits that go with those hats were. But a very, very famous battle. It is a battle when the troops from the Australian Army marched into Be'er Sheva and relieved the city from its stronghold. It was held captive or under siege by the Turks at the time, and the Aussies came in and freed. It's a great day. There are massive celebrations in Be'er Sheva. In fact, they've reenacted this battle, and it's so important and such an auspicious day in the calendar today that Malcolm Turnbull is here. And of course, it's not the only reason he is here. He's here to discuss increased trade, increased cooperation on various levels with Prime Minister Netanyahu. The relations between Israel and Australia are really, really strong. They're great. And I think it's a day that Israel and our mishpacha, in fact, that was the word that Malcolm Turnbull used to describe Israel. He says he feels that Israel are his mishpacha. I think he said mishpacha in an Aussie accent. And it's just been, you know, in contrasting with the news that we've had this morning, something very, very positive.
Absolutely right. It is 5:52. That's Raleen Marks with the Israel Report. She speaks to us every afternoon in a new time slot, and that's around about 5:35.